This is episode 81. It's called One Love, Two Ducks.
Hi, welcome to episode 81. Like Avery said, it's called One Love, Two Ducks. The duck thing will make more sense as we progress through the episode. And it's an episode that I feel slightly uncomfortable with. It's outside of my level of expertise, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because I think it's important and I think it's also awesome. I'm going to talk about the way that many people with intellectual and developmental disabilities approach love and relationships. From my experience, Avery and her friends just tend to have this very refreshingly open and inclusive attitude when it comes to who they date. They just get it, you know? And on the note of Avery dating, sorry, I'm distracted because Avery's cat is meowing his bloody head off. He's on a diet. He's on another diet. He had diabetes and then we got his weight down and then he doesn't have diabetes, but now his weight started going up again. So we had to put him on a calorie restrictive diet again and he's not on board with it. Get a cat, they said. They're so cute and fun, they said. I'm never getting a cat again. I love this cat. Kevin is a delight, but he also, I have my limits. Okay. But back to Avery dating. Sadly, my lips are sealed on that. As much as I want to tell a story about it, I really, really want to, I can't because of sharenting, which is sharing and parenting combined. Sharenting, which is a word that was born on social media and for good reason, obviously, because there are still parents who share every single thing about their kids, their disabled kids, their typical kids. Doesn't matter. And some of it's just way too personal, way too TMI. So yeah, my hands and my lips are tied on this one. And yes, I did used to share a lot. I don't know if you can hear him meowing in the background. I'm going to ignore it. I used to share a lot about Avery's life when she was little, like probably definitely way too much. But I think it was mostly okay. It was done, I believe, respectfully and within acceptable boundaries. And I do believe that a lot of what we shared hopefully helped a lot of the families that are coming up behind us. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. But now that Avery is a young woman, she's turning 17 in like a month, it's not my place to be broadcasting the minutiae of her life. So yeah, dating. The topic of dating, Avery dating, is off the table. And not because she doesn't want to talk about it, because she does. She thinks it's very exciting. It's mostly because I don't have permission from the other party. So I can't share anything about that without his permission. And I'm not about to ask for it because privacy. But if we are friends in real life, I am more than happy to spill the tea with you over the phone. So call me. Call me! If you are listening to this podcast, I already know that you are a beautifully open-hearted, open-minded friend and ally. So this particular topic isn't intended to educate you about anything. You are already informed and on board in terms of inclusion and acceptance and kindness and all those great things. Whoa, my tongue is not working. I'm sharing this topic today as Pride Month is in full swing, as more of a conversation that we can extend from and hopefully spread around a bit, because I'ma tell you that even the most inclusive people or the people that we thought were inclusive still have a way to go. I was completely floored recently by several people's perspectives, to be honest. Like, I did not see that coming from a million miles away. And so this is why we need to keep talking about pride and acceptance and love. And love is love is love is love. It is not our business who loves who. Seriously, who the heck cares? How does it actually affect you who somebody else loves? That makes no sense to me. And teaching about pride in schools or talking about different relationships at school isn't indoctrinating anyone. You don't choose to be gay or to be bi or transgender. It's not a lifestyle and it's not catchy. Just like being disabled isn't contagious. For fuck's sake. I can't deal with it anymore. This kind of intolerance and ignorance, it leaves me downright frothy. So let's just jump right into this because I'm all fired up now.
Hey everyone, it's a very bright light.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear a shade.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
One of the many, many, many beautiful things about people with intellectual and developmental disabilities is that they often have this amazing ability to just see right straight through to the core of a person beyond all the superficial stuff. And they just recognize that love doesn't give a crap about labels. And instead, they just focus on the real deal, which is the connection. It's the spark. It's that genuine affection. And isn't that what love just really is? It's that connection. I think it is. Now, we may not have gay or bi or non-binary or transgender folks in our household, but that doesn't mean that we don't have pride. We care about a lot of people who are members of the LGBTQT, 2A, 2SA plus community. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think there's other letters now and I've missed them. Yeah, sorry. We also have an outdated pride flag hanging on our front porch, which I was just informed of. Also, hot tip, it's now called the progress flag and it has new symbols and more colors. So I need to pick a new one up for next year. And in case you think that it's presumptuous of me to just assume that my kids aren't in the queer community, I hear you. We don't know, but it's just based on what I have seen and what they have shared with me and who they've shown an interest in dating. It seems to be true. But I'm not closed-minded about it. If either one of my kids came up to me with any kind of update in that regard, I'd be okay with it. Well, to be completely honest, I would probably need a minute to regroup. I'm not going to lie. Because from experience, any life path that strays from the societal norms can be hard. So I would have concerns about that, about hate and discrimination, but never any concerns about who my family loves or how they see themselves in whatever gender roles or relationship. It's more about the hate and the ignorance in the world, because even in 2020 freaking three, it still exists and it blows me away. I don't understand. I need to take a sip of my tea. Hold on a minute. So I had somebody say to me the other day, no lie, they're like, I get pride and everything, but why are we still talking about it? Why do we talk so much about it? Do we really need to know everybody's business? It's not about knowing everyone's business. It's about normalizing LGBTQT, I'm so sorry, lives. Okay, I'm just going to pause here for a second and say, this makes me uncomfortable because I stumble over the letters. It's not meaning to be cute or quirky. I stumble over the letters. It's not the easiest acronym, but that's okay. It's my job to figure it out and learn it. But I just wanted to say that I was walking and talking on the phone to a friend. I was telling her something that happened with Avery and she used a word. I don't remember what it was, something in the disability world. And she's like, oh my gosh, is it okay to say that? Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing and blah, 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 blah. So I talked her down and then I was talking to her about something and in the LGBTQT 2SA plus world. which she has some experience in. And I was like, I felt super awkward, and I was stumbling and she was stumbling. And we both came to the conclusion that we're each other's safe space to learn and to make mistakes, and it's okay, you know? So she's teaching me, I'm teaching her, yada, yada, yada. But I still screw up the letters, and I'm really sorry about that. I could do better. But anyway, so I had this person say, why do we even need a Pride Month? It's not like there's a Portuguese month. And I was like, seriously? If someone came out as Portuguese, they're not going to get shunned or bullied or beat up or worse. Are you even kidding me with this? I don't know what to say about that. But, and then, okay, so here's the big one that really got me ruffled. So a few weeks ago, some dodo hate-hearted parent or group of parents sent out this email to a whole whack of parents asking them to keep their kids home from school one day as a protest of Pride Month. And I was like, what the actual hell? And I didn't even see the email until after the fact when somebody posted it in a screenshot of it in a Facebook group. And it was gross. And apparently there were a ton of kids away that day. So what kind of BS is that? And oh my goodness, thank God Avery didn't have a dentist appointment or something. And I, you know, she wasn't absent and I wasn't accidentally participating in a protest that I have no desire to support. But anyway, she went to school that day. And I tried not to get involved in this post, but I obviously couldn't just see it and then not say anything. So I jumped in on the post and I wrote this. Why are people so invested in who other people love? It makes no sense to me. My child is intellectually disabled and she came home from school that day wearing a rainbow pen. Oh shoot, I put pen. Dang it. It's supposed to be pin. She thought it was beautiful. She and her peers set the most inclusive, loving, kind, supportive example I've ever seen. Love is love. People who kept their kids at school or at home are, well, I feel sad for them. It must be exhausting to have so much hate and fear in their hearts all the time. So that's what I wrote. And people liked it and it was supportive and it was fine. But meanwhile, my friend was getting absolutely pummeled on the same topic in a different Facebook group, a much more aggressive Facebook group. The comments were disgusting and super, super hateful, but she held her ground and she gave it right back. She's so good. You're a good human, Sarah. Yeah, it's shocking when you actually witness these trolls revealing themselves like that. And it's really gross to know that many of them are parents because hate is learned. Kids aren't born like that. They learn to hate and to discriminate by listening to and watching their parents. And we are no strangers to discrimination over here. The discrimination that disabled people experience is similar in a lot of ways, but we've been pretty lucky so far. The hate directed towards us has been pretty minimal, but we've definitely felt it. And I suspect that as Avery gets older and as she starts venturing out into the world more on her own, she's going to feel it. And that makes me want to puke, to be honest. Speaking of that, about hate, not puke, the next episode of this podcast, episode 82, is coming up in 2 weeks, and it will be our last episode before summer hiatus. Sorry. We will be talking about that. Not exactly about hate, but about how as Avery gets older, her typical peers are moving farther and farther away from her. And I get it, but I don't have to like it. So I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to share something, hopefully without crying, that happened recently that just reminded me that life as a disabled kiddo, as a disabled person in general, can be really isolating. So tune in for that fun fest on July 6th. I will bring Kleenex. So yeah, the discrimination in both worlds which often intersect, it's real. And yeah, and as a side note, I typed the word discrimination into an Instagram post the other day, and I must have made a typo or something because for some reason it autocorrected to disco tomato, which I have decided that I love. And it sounds like a meme or something waiting to happen, doesn't it? Well, speaking of memes, I saw one the other day that made me howl. It's like, you know, those ones where you can like find your elf name or find your unicorn name or whatever. This one was like, find your hooker name. And I was like, okay, I was invested. So it said, okay, your hooker name is your best friend's first name. Okay. Plus your best friend's last name. It's so silly, but it made me howl. Anyway, I definitely sent that meme along. Okay, sorry. Holy cow, that was a tangent. My apologies. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh yeah. There are some really wonderful, beautiful, happy things in our world right now. Like, I know that. And I'm not saying that the entire world is a massive, ugly fail, but let's just say if I were to put my teacher pants on and give the world a report card right now, it would get a lot of needs improvements across the board. It's messy. But in a world where so many people are getting all hung up on and bent out of shape about these rigid and I would say righteous definitions of relationships, the people I rub elbows with, people in Avery's disability community, they are just a big breath of fresh freaking air. Well, for so many reasons, but one, which is aligning with the topic of this episode, is that they approach love with such an open mind and such a huge heart. They just get it. They get that love is about finding somebody who makes your heart full. And as Avery says, somebody who makes you go, ee-ee-ee. Okay, I'm clenching my fist and I'm waving my arms as I'm imitating her. But she says that, let's just say she was dating someone, let's just say, they make her go, ee-ee-ee, when you see them. And you make that sound or you have that feeling, regardless of whether they're male or female or non-binary or whatever. And I think when you are not bogged down by gender roles, you can just appreciate the beauty of love in all of its forms without all the crap that goes with it. People with intellectual and developmental disabilities have this innate ability to look past societal norms and then just really embrace the diversity of human connections. They're not limited by conventional thinking or by the fear of being judged. I fear judgment all the time. And I have to say, it's freaking exhausting and it's very limiting, you know? And I can't speak for other people, but I feel like in Avery's case, and I've given this a lot of thought over the years, I feel like she doesn't, okay, how do I say this? She doesn't have a true understanding of some consequences. Like at an amusement park, you can put her on the tallest, scariest, most upside downy roller coaster, and she will literally have zero fears. She doesn't understand. Okay, that's not fair. She does understand, but it's more she doesn't truly connect the roller coaster to potential dangerous consequences, like the roller coaster getting stuck or falling off the tracks or maybe a bird smacking her in the face. I think of these things all the time, and I'm generally quite afraid as I'm buckling myself in, but she's not worried about any of that. She's not worried about anything in the future, like even 3 minutes ahead. She absolutely lives in the moment and she just enjoys the crap out of life and she doesn't give any cares about what anybody thinks. It's quite spectacular, to be honest. So yeah, being free of fear or not being aware or nervous about what other people think makes loving who you want to love much more limitless. Limitless love. I feel like that should be a made for Netflix movie title or something. Limitless Love, starring Brooke Shields. I don't even know. Anyway, I don't have any sciencey stats. I did try researching it, but I couldn't find anything that looked reliable. But I was interested in finding out the rate of people with intellectual disabilities who are lesbian or gay or bi or whatever. And I couldn't find anything. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, at least in terms of being gender fluid, maybe, I think it might be a substantial number. Because from what I've seen and what I've heard in the disability community around us, love is about the person, not about their, it's not about their packaging, I guess you'd say. And for anyone who argues that same-sex love or same-sex relationships aren't natural, or that it's taught or it's coerced or whatever, I say, then what about gay ducks? That's what I ask them. I was walking, it's going to go somewhere, I promise. I was walking the dog a few weeks ago around this pond that's near our house, and I noticed these two very amorous, very loving ducks. And I took a video of them. Maybe I'll share it on Instagram. And they were just so attentive to one another. And I thought, oh, how sweet. And then it dawned on me that they were both mallards. They were two dude ducks. So when I got home, I Googled, can ducks be gay? As you do. And I was surprised to read this. Mallards have rates of male-to-male sexual activity that are unusually high for birds, in some cases as high as 19% of all pairs in a population. What? I had no idea. So then, of course, I had to go on this deep dive on what other animals are known to form same-sex partnerships. Ducks are not alone in this. So here are a few that I have discovered. Bonobos, which are closely related to chimpanzees, are known for same-sex partnerships, and also macaque monkeys. Dolphins have been observed engaging in same-sex behavior and also forming long-lasting partnerships. And that goes for male bottlenose whales as well. Plus, various species of penguins, male lions, and male elephants have been known to form long-lasting bonds and engage in same-sex behavior and social and physical activities together. Also, male giraffes, male bighorn sheep, and even some male beetles. What? Who studies this? I love it. I want that job. But it's not just male animals. There have been same-sex pairings observed in certain species of albatrosses. Or albatrossi, I don't know, albatross birds, where two females or two males form long-term partnerships. And there have been same-sex pairings in black swans, male-to-male and female-to-female. Yeah, that's just a bit of what I found. But it's also important to note that while these animals have been observed to form same-sex partnerships, it's not necessarily appropriate or even accurate, I guess, to apply human concepts of sexuality and partnerships to non-human animals, right? I'm not saying that same-sex experiences of humans are comparable to animals. I'm just pointing out that there are other animals besides humans who form same-sex partnerships. And these animals were not indoctrinated or lured in some way to turning gay because of a flag or a parade or a lesson in a class about two moms or two dads. It is what it is. There's no hate. There's no judgment. It's just living beings being, you know what I mean? So yeah, let's bring it back to humans for a second, because I don't know what I'm doing right now, but disabled humans in particular, who they're out there just celebrating love in all its variations. And I think it's beautiful because they can see what truly matters, which is simply the bond that two people share. It's the love, it's the friendship, it's the laughter, it's the support. It's just the joy that they bring into each other's lives without any crap. And they just demonstrate that it's the essence of the person that matters. It's not the label that society has just slapped on them. So I guess I just want to say, let's share the message that we can all take a page from their book to embrace the open-hearted, inclusive approach to love that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities tend to exhibit, you know? And let's just continue to learn from them and to celebrate love proudly, because when it comes down to it, love is love. And how lovely is that? So, yeah. Speaking of lovely, look who we have here.
What kind of shows do ducks like to watch? Documentaries.
Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us, so thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.